Kind of makes you wonder how we got our hands on it, doesn't it? It's springtime. Represents a change of season. As the seasons change in nature, they change in life. I don't know how I got to be 58 years old so quickly. But I told someone recently, I purchased my second to last automobile. Do the math. In the same way, there are seasons in the Spirit. When the angel announced to Mary that that holy child within her would be called the Son of God, it was a change of season. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, it was a change of season. And another change of season has recently occurred in the realm of the Spirit. God has begun to unfold His fatherhood. And with that change of point of view, there's been a radically new way of looking at the Scripture and seeing for the first time that which was hidden in plain sight. Because the season has changed. And with that change of season, there comes an opportunity for new responses to old things. Easter, every day. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in dyeing eggs every morning before I have to eat them. I think that he's talking about something entirely different. Because the gospel as it has been presented to most of us, most of our lives, is very one-dimensional. Come to Jesus, he'll forgive your sins, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. Now, that's not bad. I've read the alternative. Given the two, I'd rather go to heaven. But what do you do in the meantime? Let's suppose that you're born again when you're 6 years old and you live until you're 86. That's like 8 times 10 of what? Part of the trauma of Monday morning is we've never clearly understood Easter. Easter was an event. Jesus Christ was in fact dead, and he is now alive forevermore. The fact that he's dead was an event. The fact that he's alive forevermore is a threshold. It's a threshold that represents change, and the kind of change we've yet to connect to because we've been sold, the gospel's been on the reduced rack for a long, long time. There wasn't much cost associated with it because we didn't understand what Jesus was doing. I want to try to give you in these few moments a bigger picture of what the gospel is and its impact on us Monday morning. Here's the big picture. Luke chapter 3, verse 38 records for us that Adam was the Son of God. He was made the Son of God by the creative act of his Father. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let him rule. And so God formed man from the dust of the earth, and then God breathed into him and he became a mature son like that. And God turned to his son and said, take dominion, subdue, rule. That was Adam's inheritance, that he would rule on his father's behalf within creation. Sin came along, and Adam forfeited that rule. We know this to be true because on that day when the devil was tempting Jesus, he took him to a high place and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, this glory and this honor I can give to you because it was handed over to me and I can give it to whomever I wish. Sin separated us from our Father. And for a long, long time, preachers have been telling us, and I should apologize on behalf of all of us preachers right now, because some of us just didn't know until recently. We've been telling you that if you get your sins forgiven, you go to heaven when you die, by and by, in the sky, someday, out there, somewhere, sometime. Just hold on in church on Sunday. Be here so we can preach at you and take your money until then, okay? Can we talk? But here's the deal. Sin is not the main agenda. The agenda is, I haven't seen him in a while. The agenda is this: sons being restored to their father. Because sin separated us from our father. And when sin separated Adam from his father, it separated all the sons of Adam from their father. And so fathers have treated us like things to be separated from. They have abandoned us in the womb. They have divorced our mothers. They've run off with some other guy. But redemption removes sin for the purpose of restoring us to our father. When Adam sinned, he lost his relationship with his father. He lost his personal identity, and he forfeited his destiny. And so Jesus comes saying, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Why? I had a friend of mine tell me this recently, and you know how it is, those V8 moments when somebody tells you something so obvious that you're amazed that you have the failure to grasp the obvious? My friend said to me, said, Lanny, the problem we have is fatherlessness. And in that place of fatherlessness, we have orphans pretending to be grown-ups. And the problem with a fatherless person is this: the God they create is in the image of their own need. And so Father dispatches the Son to show us what Father is actually like. And yet I still continue to find people who think the Father is different from Jesus they trust, Father they don't trust. Jesus came to remove sin so that we could be restored to the Father. Here's the condition. Jesus came into darkness. The Scripture says in Luke that the light shined in darkness. To the people who sat in darkness, the light has come. To those who sat in the shadow of death, a light has dawned on them. I like that. Dawned on them. Click, hello. I think I get it. But the circumstance of the big picture, Jesus described like this. To those of us who know him, he says this: I'm sending you into darkness to open their eyes. Which eyes? The spiritual eyes that were closed in the fall. I'm sending you there to open those eyes again with demonstrations of spirit and power for the purpose of demonstrating that there are two kingdoms. I'm sending you to open their eyes and bring them out of darkness into light from the rule, the dominion of Satan, into which everyone is born, to come under the rule of God, the Father. See, this is about a change of rule. Don't kid yourself. Listen, if you're one of those deceived people who say, well, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, nobody tells me what to do, not the preacher, not God, nobody, I make up my own mind, I run my own life, nobody sets my destiny, you are deceived. Because you were born into darkness. You are under the dominion of the enemy of your soul. And when God comes with his grace, he's simply encouraging you to align yourself with his purpose for your life. You matter. You did not come out of the ooze. God knew you before you ever were. And in his mind, he appointed your day, your boundary, your times. Because he knew what you would be. And he knew what you could be together. And so when that word comes to us, we have the opportunity to align ourselves with that truth. What do you call that? What's that church word for when you align yourself with God's intention for you? It's called repentance. It means to change the way you were going and start going the way He intended for you to go. And as a consequence, listen to this. Out of darkness into light, from the dominion of Satan to God, and as a consequence of that decision, your sins are forgiven. And you receive an inheritance. Who receives an inheritance? The offspring of the parent. You receive an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Two parts. The first one's easy. The second one's not so easy. But it explains Monday morning. See, the first part is this. When you come to the realization that your life is out of sync with the intention of your Father and change, He authorizes those of us who are a part of His inheritance to say to you, on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare your sins forgiven. Enter into your inheritance in the family of God. That's the easy part. You go, oh yeah, I've been missing it. Hey, help. Okay, that's what we do. Simple. The second part's a little more challenging because it involves
every day for the rest of your life.
And it's this. The hope of Easter on Monday morning makes sense when you understand that it's the Father's intention to use the circumstances into which He has appointed your life to bring you into mature sonship. It changes the way you enter your cubicle. He intends for you to rule from a spirit of rest and peace. As you move throughout your relationships and your responsibilities, you have, what do you call that kind of snorkeling they're doing now where you walk and there's a boat above you, it's got a hose down here and a helmet on your head? What? S-A-U. Snuba? Snuba, S-N. Snuba. Y'all got the picture? Don't trust me to repeat it. Just get the picture. Because as you move through your realms of responsibility, you're breathing air from another kingdom. You're not cluttered by the events that are around you. You have the ability to see where others can't see. And you know stuff because you have His Spirit. And in that place of rule, grace and peace attend your way. So that every situation you're faced with is not a, what's happening to me, God, why are you doing this? It's, Father, what do you want me to learn today? And it, for me, it brings expectancy, excitement, enthusiasm. It tells me that whatever the pressure on my soul is not going to last long because it's not come to destroy me, it's come to refine me.
And I'm telling you, I am mighty refined.
I remember where I started. And today, by the mercy of God, I am a father. I'm a father of sons. If God shows me mercy, I'll be the grandfather to sons' sons. And daughters, I always get harassed if I don't mention daughters. And I have spiritual sons. And our job is to grow up into Him. I have some things to share with you, and they're going to be very, very personal for some of you. In this life that I'm describing to you, there's an actual communion with God through the Holy Spirit, whereby He communicates to us in ways we understand things He wants to say to others. And I have several things that were handed to me before I came up here just a few minutes ago. Things that reportedly come straight from heaven for some of you assembled here. Now, before I read them, I'm going to give you this. It's customary in this congregation for God to supernaturally intervene in the lives of people. We don't meet for the purpose of saying we went to church. We come together for the express purpose of encountering God. And over the years, He's been faithful to extend His presence and understanding to us. There are no perfect people in this room today. None, zero. They're in their Sunday best, and most of them are as messed up as anybody you've ever met in your life. Some of them are less messy because they've been around the presence of God longer. But we live in a blemished world with blemished people. And so we accept the blemished, to which we apply Holy Ghost Clearasil. He changes the way you think, the way you act, the way you look. And there's Val Henry sitting here on Easter morning. If you come back next week, try blonde. I want to see how it looks, okay? Somebody give this girl a blonde wig. Valerie is close to our heart, part of our congregation, battling an aggressive form of cancer. I'm delighted to see her strong enough to be with us on Easter. God bless you, darling. We'll lay hands on you before you leave, okay? So we're accustomed to seeing God intervene in the lives of people. So as you hear this, and if it touches your heart, because this is you personally, don't be embarrassed by this. We watch God set people free routinely around here. Women who have carried the burden of unforgiveness towards your father, the Lord wants to minister healing to you. He wants to relieve you of this harmful burden. One of the most distressful things for me at this season of life is to watch fathers not father, or to minister to those who were violated by their fathers. The first principle of rule is that you rule for the benefit of those subject to your rule. It's highly likely that some of you women sitting here this morning just heard that in your spirit. We will receive you at the altar, and God will set you free. There's a person whose child died young, and you still carry that pain. It's prevented you from approaching the Lord for comfort, and you have distanced your heart from God. In a moment, I'm going to call some people up here to the front who will receive you and hold you and pray with you, and you will leave here free of that pain. Parents who have a child who has chosen to live in rebellion, the Lord is sending a spirit of repentance to go forth and overtake your rebellious child and restore you. If that's a word you want to claim for your prodigal, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We've got, I'm not going to hold you prisoner, isn't that good news? But I want you to have opportunity to respond to those words. But beforehand, we need to do this drawing and then turn the rest of you loose. Whoever's doing that, I think it's Peggy, wherever Peggy is. There you are. Who's got the cards? Thank you, Jim. Put them in the basket. Bring them up here. I want to give stuff away. Did you know that your father is a generous father? He says he causes the rain to fall and the evil and the good, and he sends the sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He's just a generous guy. And I get to thinking, why do we only give stuff away at Christmas? If we're going to be like our Father, we have to develop a spirit of generosity like Him. He is forever attending to our needs and even our desires. I've got a friend, he shares with me about his relationship with the Father, and he's been at this for a long, long time, and I deeply regard him. But he tells me that he's at the point in his relationship, he doesn't even have to pray it anymore. If the desire awakens in his heart, in short order, the thing is manifested in his life. Now, wouldn't you like to have that dispensing machine? It comes with this cost. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. We want the added to before the seek first. How about now? We ready now? Say this with me. Later that same day, all right. Good. Good. Oh, man. Thank you. Drum roll, please. I knew you got it. Musicians and microphones, you just can't get it away from them, you know? I need a person of integrity as a drawer. Now, here's a woman who is self-aware. All right, what have you got here? What are we giving away, by the way? Well, pick something. Grab one of them. Richard Dooley. Where are you, Richard? Well, come up here and get something. Hey. You like coffee, Richard? You don't? We could be friends, because I do. Look at all that stuff. Oh, look, I see chocolate, too. Happy Easter, son. And thanks for playing. Draw something. Beth McCluskey. Where are you, Beth? Oh, good. Happy Easter, darling. Diane Schmidt is located where?
Over there.
Over there. Oh, good. Oh, my gosh. It says Trevor, and I can't make out the last name. Even if it was printed bigger, I couldn't pronounce it. Trevor, where are you? If there's two of them, we'll have them wrestle and see who wins. Don't hold those near your chest. It's the wrong picture.
The name's Vedeffer, by the way.
What is it?
Vedeffer.
Vedeffer?
Vedeffer, yes, sir.
Trevor Vedeffer. Welcome, Trevor, and happy Easter. Listen. I won't mind if you give that to your mother, your loved one, okay? You know, us guys and flowers thing, I was hoping for a fishing reel. I don't know about you. Is that an O? Does that look like an O?
Yes.
Kelly?
Dariano?
D-A-R-I-A-N. There she is. Just in case Mr. Bunny didn't stop by this morning, that's yours. Is that it? Well, whose is that? That's who? Oh, that's a Korean church. Nah. It doesn't say you won't be tempted. It says you'll not. Listen, I was in my late 20s before I realized God laughs. I'm fine laughing with Him and His people, okay? If you're accustomed to hush, shh, reverend, oh, God, shh. Sorry about your morning. But around here, He's the real deal. And it ought to be joy, it ought to be fun, it ought to be generous, it ought to be real, and it ought to be His presence. And so I call you to remember the words that were spoken. If you need to align yourself with your Father's purposes for your life, I would consider it an honor to pray over you this morning. If you need to bring those father pains in your soul to someone, in fact, I need some huggers up here who know what they're doing. Some of you guys who have worked with me before at the altar, jump up here, will you? Because everybody that needs a hug or a prayer, I want to make sure they get it. Specific promises have been issued today to you parents with rebellious children, to you women with pains in your soul. But there's also this declaration that if you need to align your life with the purposes of God and come out of darkness into light, I've got an easy one for you. You just stand where you are, and I will declare your sins forgiven in His place. But if you need to bring your wounded soul up here or pray for your rebellious child, then these are trained to do that. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment, then I'm going to turn you loose. Those of you who have been touched by the magic of preaching, it's that phenomenon where God says that faith comes by hearing, not reading. Often when I speak, people hear things I didn't say, but they heard God talking to them. If you this morning realize that you have missed your destiny, or perhaps have not yet settled even your destination, I invite you to slip your hand up right where you are and let me make a pronouncement over you. If you wish to align your life with your Father's destiny, just slip your hand up real quickly and put it back down. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Father, by these acts of faith, these who have raised their hand are saying, I want to be aligned with the intention of my Father for my life. And I know, God, that when this happens, that whole sense of emptiness and aimless wandering is going to be gone. You're going to break things in their life. You're going to let them see differently. And it's my pleasure to stand here and represent you and to declare on the authority of the Word of God, hear me now, lay hold of this. I say to you in the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven this moment, this Easter Sunday, in Jesus' name. Now, I welcome you into the family of God. I welcome you into your destiny. Those of you who need to respond to any of those messages we received this morning and delivered to you, for your rebellious children, for pains from your father, the death of a child that's kept you separated from your heavenly Father, I invite you to stand, come to this altar, and let us settle these issues right now. In fact, I'm going to have all of you stand. They need to be able to get out. And you want to get out, so I'm going to turn you loose. And the way things go around here, you'll probably be having Easter lunch an hour ahead of me. So pray for me, will you, that I don't faint along the way? Oh, hey, we got refreshments downstairs. If you don't think you can make it to your own, have a snack on the way out. Down the stairs to the back, there's a big room out here. It's got snacks and stuff. We'll see you downstairs. All right. Now, in all sincerity, I ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ accompany you, that the love of God the Father fall upon you with freshness, and that you personally begin to experience on a daily basis the communion of God the Holy Spirit. Now, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. The altar is open.